Well, welcome to Trade Radio.
Morning, guys.
Mate, obviously the Essendon saga would have taken up a fair bit of time, and at times it was trying off field, so I assume you let your hair down once the final siren went Saturday afternoon.
I think I was too weary. No, it's been a long year, but obviously pleased to get the Essendon thing done prior to the finals, and I think the final series were a spectacular one, great games, good crowds, and I think people hopefully put that stuff behind us and we thought about footy for a month.
Everybody has trying times in their business or personal life. Gil, has this been the most trying time in your professional life as an administrator?
It's an interesting question. It's certainly, there were some sort of pretty brutal aspects about it to the end, and the media were sort of right in the thick of it, and it got it maybe a bit personal. So from that respect, I don't think it was much fun for anyone out there. And maybe, I mean, but there's obviously been different things. But for in terms of the intensity of the media, and I guess public interest is probably right up there, yeah.
Do you look back on the saga and think to yourself, maybe there's a couple of things that we could have done a little bit different in the way of the AFL?
Yeah, I think there's obviously always things you can do better. I mean, I don't know that there's anything you do ultimately that takes a long time and it's got a big significant consequence at the end of it. But you think, well, I did that perfectly. I think it was challenging. I know we were sort of being, there were sort of accusations of us leaking. I certainly don't believe the AFL did. But what happens is when you've got multiple parties involved in the thing, you never know quite where the information's coming from. So, you know, maybe we could try and tighten that up. There are certainly things that maybe we could have done or cut off earlier. But generally, I think we partnered well with the starter and we got to the bottom of it and brought ahead before the finals, and the players seem, you know, this is the moment of being protected. And I think they were our main aims. And so generally, I think we got where we wanted to get. It's just maybe we could have done with a little less bark off.
Mate, on to brighter things, the grand final week and celebrations was a fantastic week. And grand final day, 100,000 people there. It was a fantastic result for the AFL. Are we happy with the way the whole day went and week?
Yeah, I thought. Saturday was a fantastic day. I actually thought the guys did a really great job in terms of the whole production of the event. I think it came well and built well right into the first bounce. And then afterwards, you know, and through halftime, then the post-match concert was great as well. So I thought it was a great day. And I've had feedback from those who were there who thought that was right. And it was a good game between two worthy finalists. And I think Fremantle's, you know, their supporters are amazing, the noise they made and what it added to have a team that was their first ever grand final, I think added a lot to the grand final. So I thought the day was great and broadly the final series was as well. And last week went pretty well. And I think Gary Ablett and the tight count, and everyone was really pleased to see him win a second one because I think he deserves it.
Gil, grand final entertainment, obviously a lot over the years have been critical. We had a few issues the last couple of years, obviously with Meatloaf, but Mike Brady, I thought that was amazing. I mean, I grew up and obviously you would have with his iconic songs, and to hear them, it actually gave me goosebumps. And I mean, it's almost going back to your grassroots. I thought that was one of the great things of grand final day.
Well, it was a bit of all of that. I mean, not only Mike, but Hunters and Collectors reforming this year. Even Tina Arena, I think she's off the X Factor doing the national anthem. There's a lot of sort of iconic Australian acts in there, and people know all the songs, and people seem to enjoy it. So, you know, we can talk about the international high-profile guys. I think the entertainment really did seem to work on the weekend.
Just on that, Mike Brady, such an iconic two songs, obviously, so closely linked to the AFL and that big one day in September, pardon the pun. But is there any thought to just have Mike Brady there each and every year? It had been a couple of years before he'd been back at the MCG. Is there a thought just to make him a staple to sing those two songs every grand final?
It's an interesting question. I think he was a staple for a while, and then people were sort of looking, maybe we need to change it a bit. And I think he's had maybe 10 years now without being involved, and that's why I think that you know, he was such a big hit on Saturday because of the time period away. So I don't know what that means for next year, but there's no doubt that he was a success, as were the other guys.
Gil, what are we talking in total revenue, what the grand final would have turned over on the weekend?
Turnover? It depends what you include. There's lots of different aspects to that, but you know, it's a big event. We're talking in the tens of millions. There's obviously a lot of costs as well, But it's, you know, it is a huge event. There's no doubting that.
Night grand final. It's obviously always on the agenda each and every year. It gets brought up in some way or form. Andrew Dimitro's knocked it on the head. I like the 2 o'clock or the 2:30 or the 3 o'clock start, Saturday afternoon start for the bounce of the ball. The deputy CEO, Gil, many people in the school of thought is that you'll step into Andy's shoes whenever he does vacate them. Are you a night grand final man, or are you happy to see it is where it currently lays?
I like it where it is. I mean, it doesn't mean you wouldn't have a look at it, but I just, the day works well. We have most of our finals leading up to it at night, and I have to say I like that 2:30 daytime bounce and playing the game during the day. You know, we had a look at the twilight prelim last year, and I thought that worked well as well, and maybe that's a compromise. But you know, I have to say I like the 2:30 bounce.
No doubt a VFL grand final as a curtain raiser is probably out of the question with all the aligned teams nowadays, and it would take away the story of Jonathan Simpkin and Stephen King from years gone by. But has there been any idea maybe that you do need a game in there before the grand final, and maybe having the TAC Cup grand final played before the big one again?
Well, yeah. I think people would sort of instinctively like it, but you go and look at the logistics in terms of what has to happen to get the two teams to do their, you know, way they do their warm-up now. And then with the axe. And the trouble is that even if you said, OK, we're putting one on, they're finished so early in the day to, again, allow for, as I said, team warm-ups, logistics to bring speakers and bands and other things on the field. They're sort of off by, finished by sort of 12:30. Not many people are in the ground then. That's yep. The challenge of it, is that actually making it work, with given where the professionalism in our game and what the teams need to do to prepare, and I guess what the expectations of the crowd are in terms of entertainment. It's just hard to get them to finish late enough to be enough people there. The other thing is that, I mean, it's a reality that our supporters and spectators have got used to be able to time it well, do what they need to do and get there, you know, later and later towards the start of the game. You know, the days of people being there a couple of hours beforehand and sitting with that, it just happens less and less. So it has some challenges, like, you know, I could see why people want to see a game beforehand.
Gil, there's a massive week coming up with all the trade talk. Obviously, Buddy Franklin might be going to Sydney. We've got Daisy Thomas, Nick Del Santo leaving clubs. The AFL, we've got compensation with free agency at the moment. We don't have that in the US, which sort of defeats the purpose of free agency a little bit. So how do you come to the result of determining what either Buddy or Daisy are worth on the free agent market?
Thankfully, I don't have to make that decision. I mean, I think that there's a precedent now established through Brendan Goddard and other players about where that sits. I mean, there was a lot of speculation about, well, was it sufficient compensation? And to your point, maybe it's not in real terms. It's probably less than what you'd get in a trade. So, you know, I think there's sort of the first round pick of Goddard was probably created a precedent, but thankfully that's not my decision to make if that happened.
Do you expect the compensation that clubs receive from losing a free agency to be maybe extinct in 5 years and be more the traditional US path where if you lose a player via free agency, you got the cash but you don't get anything in return?
It's a good question. I don't know. Andrew Dillon and Mark Evans, the guys to talk to about yep. that. I think it says something about where it's set up at the moment that it is. That is, you know, you don't certainly get anywhere near the compensation you get for trading them. Whether that dissipates again, I'm not sure. They're the guys to talk to on that, Ray.
Gil, you were a free agent yourself at a certain point, and the rugby league of up in Sydney, they came hard at you. Were you close to leaving the AFL world and going up rugby league because they wanted you as the number mm-hmm. one man up there?
Listen, I never really sort of applied. It was an interesting one, but when someone comes and makes you an offer and suddenly it's real, everything you do consider things closely. So I have to say I did have a very close look at that, but in the end decided that, you know, for a variety of reasons, I was very happy with the AFL and, you know, I haven't thought about it again, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you what, Brownie, there's a lot of parallels between what Gil went through nearly 2 years ago now and compared to what Buddy Franklin's going through right now. Sydney have come knocking with a great deal of cash. Are you caught up in whole Buddy watch like the whole football world is, Gil?
No, I'm not. I get a bit exhausted about the speculation at all. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know much more than you guys. I probably know less. I think he's literally torn between an attractive offer and a change of lifestyle in Sydney and his love for Hawthorn. And as I understand it, it's 50-50 and those decisions are very hard to make.
Mate, we appreciate your time as always. A lot of tweets coming through at Trade Radio. Just want to know, obviously, you don't want to go back too far, but are you keeping in contact with Asada when it comes to, you know, plenty of rumours still going out there investigating? Do the AFL still talk to Asada on a regular basis, or are they just leaving them up to their own device?
No, we do. We've obviously worked closely with them over, you know, since February. We've been clear that it's possible that infraction notices could still be issued, but we're, you know, talking with them almost on a weekly basis. And at the moment there is we have no information that says there's any change to the position at the moment where they're not going to be issued. But we are keeping in close contact.
Does it frustrate you when you see news reports or media reports that infraction notices are around the corner and this is happening and that's happening, and you know, no doubt you're talking to, as you just said, Asada almost on a fairly regular basis. Does it frustrate you when you see media reports that you know a fair way off the money?
It does. It frustrates you when media reports have come out and you haven't been asked to give comment.
Yep.
And I guess maybe it's even more frustrating when you say, well, you know, give definitive positions that that's not true and they're ignored. So, listen, the media does a lot of good things for us, and you know, we couldn't survive without them. But that's the frustration when you know, when you give definitive commentary that something's not true, and then and it's not reported like that. But you take the bad with the good when there's a lot of good.
And you got a very famous brother too, Gil. Did you critique his performance at the Brownlow the other night? He didn't bring out the lazy Susan, which I thought was a real low lot.
He has the ability to get himself a lot of trouble in that area, so I think that if you mitigate the opportunity to get in trouble, it's good for him and ultimately good for all of us.
Do you drop him a text after he gets involved in one of these situations and says maybe drop that for next year?
I think he knows himself. I just try and pump him up. He can get a bit flat, as you know, Nathan. I'm there to bring him up, not to bring him down. So I think he knows when he got himself in a lazy Susan situation, and he culls it himself.
Hey, Gil, you mentioned off the top you're a little bit weary after the year, but do you let your hair down for a couple of weeks now, or what happens now? Do you afford yourself a beer, or you're still too busy?
I'm taking the week off this week. It's been a long, long period, so I'm having this week off.
Yep.
With the kids, and it's still school holidays, so week with the kids, and then we're back into it. We've got a lot to do for the back end of October, but yeah, having a week off this week, which will be fun.
Now, we really appreciate you joining us on Trade Radio. You know, if you ever need a couple of moments away from the kids this week, feel free to give us a call, 0825 6681, and we'll talk more about the AFL.
Good luck, lads. Thank you.
Gil McGlone.